All right. Well, good morning, Mansfield Christian Church. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. I just love coming here and being able to share the good news of Christ and spend some time with you each morning, each Sunday morning, rather. And this week is a special one, right? It's the Super Bowl tonight. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to play there. I'd be remiss if I didn't preach on Super Bowl Sunday and failed to mention it. And so we'll certainly be rooting for the Chiefs tonight. If you're not, then I don't know what to say to you. But yeah, so be on the eyes for that tonight. Also, I just kind of wanted to give a slight update. Last week on my way home from church, my car, the motor blew up in it, and so prayers for that. For this week, I'm looking at the possibility of buying a new car, so prayers for that process, that everything would be greatly accepted. And that I can make the decision that Christ wants me to make and not the decision that I want. And so, hey, we're in a new series. It's time to start a new series. We talked about running the race for Christ the last few weeks, and as I was preparing, what did I want to preach on for the next couple of weeks? I was talking to Dylan, many of you know, my roommate, and he's preaching on David right now, and we were just kind of, we went to a coffee shop yesterday, and we were hanging out, and we were doing some sermon prep, and I was like, you know, David would be a pretty good thing to preach on. And so I kind of decided there that we're gonna walk through the life of David so that we can see some biblical application for ourselves. And so this first part, we're gonna focus on his anointing and the preparation aspect of him before he even becomes close to being the king. And so the dominant thought for my message today is that there's power in preparation. Now, admittedly, it's hard to be patient when you're already been given a title. I think there's an old adage that patience is a virtue comes to mind. My dad used to tell me that all the time, that patience is very important. And we can be indecisive, right? We try to rush into things, and we don't wait for the time that God has decided for us. And so we're gonna talk about David and how he is a model of patience that we should follow here. That his preparation is the model that we should follow in the decisions that are in the life that we live. And of course, we all know, Wayne alluded to it right before I came up here, that David is a man after God's own heart. That's a little saying that we love. And so if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel 5 through 11. That's where we're going to start today. It's probably going to be pretty textual heavy today, a little more than normal, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with digging into the word really heavy. And so we're going to start here in verse 5. Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When he arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons that you have?" "This is still the youngest. There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send him, We will not sit down until he arrives. Now, there's some background that we should point to first here, and that's Saul has been rejected. Though he's still anointed, he's still the king, he's been rejected. And so Jesse is looking for the new king that will be anointed by the Lord. Now, admittedly, this is pretty wild, right? He looks at all of the different sons of Jesse, and he says, oh, this is the one, and God says no. And he says, oh, this is the one, and God says no. So after looking at each one, you still have God telling him, no, this is not the one. And then he says, is this all the sons you have? And Jesse says, well, you know, there's this one out here that's tending to the sheep. I didn't even bring him in here because I didn't feel like he was even going to be worthy of being called. But then we see Samuel say, oh, no, he might be the one God called. We won't even sit down until he comes here. Go out and fetch him. See, that's the first step here, that we may be called and not even know. God had called Jesse, or David rather, and all of the people around him didn't even think that he would be the one called. He wasn't the oldest or the most handsome or the wise. Now the Bible does say he was a handsome man, but he wasn't the oldest. He wasn't the one that even his own father thought would be called. He's the one who will be king, but he's still outside tending the animals. He's outside working with his sheep and doing the things that not someone that a king would not be doing. Like, I think it's important to put this in perspective, right? It would be like the CEO going to Walmart, grabbing the stock guy in the back of the store and saying, you're going to be the new CEO. Grabbing the least qualified person in the store and saying, you're going to be the guy. Now, obviously, this probably isn't going to work out. Like, putting this guy that has no experience with running a company and saying, you're going to be the guy to run the company, this is probably going to fail. But through training and preparation, he could develop into the person that is ready. And so I like this point. If we are prepared, then we can be successful when the Lord calls. And so next we'll look at 1 Samuel 16, 14 through 23. And it says, now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, see, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better. Now pause this right here, because this is something that David had been practicing. The lyre was an instrument that David played while he was tending his sheep. And if we look back just a little bit further, David, at this point, had already been anointed by Solomon, or anointed to be the king. And yet he goes back out and starts working in the field. I mean, for me, if I get anointed king, I'm not going outside to play with my sheep. I want to go be in the palace. I don't want to be the guy that's out there, oh, let me give you some hay and working with all these sheep and stuff. But David says, no, I can go out and prepare. I can go out and work with my sheep, and when the time is right, God will call me to where he wants me. And so we see this, Saul needs someone that can play the lyre who is skilled. Well, guess what? My man David's been out there learning to play the lyre really well while he's tending his flocks. And because of his preparation, we're going to see Saul calls him to come play the lyre, and that leads to his eventual rise to being the king. And so we continue. He said, so one of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." So Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. So this is the important part, right? We see that David is still with the sheep. He's still practicing. He's still preparing for the role that's going to come. Like I said, I think it'd be easy for any one of us to, if we got appointed to be the king, we wouldn't be preparing anymore. We would want to be in that role. And so this is a great message. And also we see that through the preparation, the very last verse here is key, and the Lord is with him. So not only is David seeing that he has a place coming forth, but he's also got the presence of God with him as he's preparing to do these things. And so last we come to the last section of this verse, and it says, David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, "Allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him." Whenever the spirit from God came to Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. Now we can clearly see here that because David had been practicing the lyre, that he was able to relieve Saul, and then he becomes his armor bearer. Now the armor bearer is important because that's the guy in these times that would carry the armor for the king, and then when they got into battle, he would help suit the armor onto the king. Now, armor in this day was really heavy, and so if you're the king, you don't want to just carry this stuff around, but when you get ready to go into battle, you'll need it. And so David gets this really important role of carrying Saul's armor around. And it's all because he was diligent in his preparation of learning to play the lyre while he's working with the sheep. If he couldn't play the lyre, then Saul wouldn't have needed him to play the lyre for him with his evil spirits. And so the preparation prepared David for his calling. I wonder how many times do we get called to an area, but we never put in the proper preparation. Like, we can get called to an area of service. Maybe it's something in the church or some sort of job in our life. Maybe we're called to be a Sunday school teacher, or maybe we're called to pick up a new job or to go volunteer in the community. But we never put in the preparation, or rather, we fail to do any sort of preparation. I like this analogy. This would be like me not doing any sort of sermon prep this week, coming up here and then just trying to wing a message on a Sunday morning. It's not going to work. I mean, maybe one every 10 weeks I might be able to kind of fling something together and it would be okay, but it's not going to be a thought out message. It's not going to be the way that God's word should be handled. And so I think if you hear nothing else from my message today, church, hear this. There's power in the preparation. The power in preparation is that it will make us more successful for when we get to where the Lord calls us. If we're adequately prepared for where God leads us in our lives, then the preparation will help us to get to that point. And so, as I was prepping last night, I was looking for a good illustration, and I came across the story of Bill Gates, and it's quite a miraculous one, right? He goes to high school. He's not a wealthy kid. He starts to learn computers while he's in high school, and he's smart, and clearly he's gifted by God as he's trying to figure out these computers. And this is in 1960s, early 70s. And so computers are brand new. It's not like they don't have the programs that we have now. sure most of you, I wasn't alive yet, but I'm sure most of you remember the computers being bigger than a room, as my grandma used to say. And so he's doing this, and he later gets into Harvard University, which is quite a deal to get into. That's a very difficult school, and as he's going to Harvard, right, he has no plan, but he's learning to develop software while he's there. He's playing with software. He's preparing for where he's gonna go. And in fact, when he launched the company Microsoft, which originally was called Micro and then Soft, and then they put it together, him and another feller, they launched that company, he was still going to college. It wasn't like, oh, I've launched this company, let me go full force into Microsoft. He was still attending classes at Harvard while trying to figure out how to run this business. It's pretty wild to me as I was looking at this. It took 11 years before the industry would even take notice of the software that he was writing. For 11 years, he was preparing for where he was called to go. And that first software he launched, it became the stepping stone when they took notice. This software was called the 98DOS software, and it was launched like shortly after 1977, 1978. And IBM partnered with him, and they became a bigger company. And that's where Microsoft began to become what we see it today. So remember, church, there's power in preparation. If he hadn't had those 11 or 12 years of preparing how to do this, he might not be ready. And who knows if Bill Gates would have just originally, after he launched the company, just went straight to Microsoft and left college and didn't take the time to properly prepare, Microsoft might not be the company that it is today. Remember, the success comes to those who are prepared, because there is power in preparation. So I think, in conclusion, if we want to be powerful in our calling from the Lord, we need to prepare. We need to do those things that require us, you know, and maybe it's not learning to play the lyre while you're herding some sheep. Maybe it's something like learning to study the Bible a little bit more before you're preparing to teach a lesson. Maybe it's something like learning to be a more kind-hearted person and wanting to volunteer in different areas in the community. Just remember that success comes to those who are prepared. So let's be a little more diligent about how we prepare, shall we, church? Thank you.